What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to another episode of Bussing Your... Welcome to another episode of Bussin' with the Boys. I am your host, Will Compton. My co-host, Taylor Lewan, he is in training camp right now. He just had a preseason game. He's got a job. On this week's episode of Bussin' with the Boys, I sit down with my guys, Blake Lawrence and Adi Konalik. They are founders. They are entrepreneurs of their company, Open Doors, which we're going to dive into. We talk all things NIL, which is name, image, likeness. The reason this is a great episode is because... they're great friends of mine. We banter, we cut back and forth. They are mentors of mine, great friends of mine. Adi Konalik, he was a kicker. We played on Nebraska together. He played in the league for a short period with the Carolina Panthers. And by short period, I mean, you know, I think preseason. With Blake, my boy Blake, he played linebacker at Nebraska with me, with myself and Levante. And he had to retire because he had too many concussions. That's not funny. That's not funny. That's just, I bust his balls all the time about that. But this is a great episode. Before we get into the episode, we need to shout out PBR. They took care of the boys. Hey, did they not take care of the boys this weekend? First class, bro. I'm talking hosted the boys well. We got to take different, we got to do whatever we wanted. We got to see the bulls. We got to be up close with the bulls. We got to shoot camera angles from the shark cage, which is out there in the middle of the field. We got to shoot when the bulls are taking off, what do they call that? Shotgun. The shotgun cage. I don't know. We got to be.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, that sounds good. We got to be up top, the aerial view. But anyway, shout out PBR. Some other house cleaning, not housekeeping. Some house cleaning items. New merchandise, flags. Get your flags ready to be in the stands, hanging in your dorm rooms, hanging in your man caves. Your lady caves, because I know we got some tier one chicks that watch the boys, dude. But get your new flags, fly them all around the stadiums nationwide. We also have new Hawaiian shirts that you guys have seen. A lot of cool stuff. Those new row pads, there's like over 100 left. Get in there, get in the store, store.barstoolsports.com, and click on brands. You'll see Bussin' with the Boys. Click there, you'll find all of our merch, but continue to buy our merch. Also, this weekend, Saturday, third preseason game, the boys, we're having our only, one and only preseason game, our dress rehearsal. We are throwing a tailgate and watch party at Acme Feed and Seed. That is this Saturday, August 28th. The boys versus the other boys. I don't know if we can. Yeah, we can say names. Well, I just know we can't advertise with the logos. Yeah, the boys versus the Bears. And so we're going to be at Acme Feed and Seed. The bus will be parked on Broadway. We will be on the corner of First and Broadway. The bus will be on Broadway. So if you're listening to this right now, you might not even be going to watch the preseason game, but you might be going out downtown to Nashville on Saturday evening, Saturday night. The bus will be parked on Broadway if you want a photo with it on the outside, not on the inside. But the boys will be there watching the game, having fun, slinging merch, doing some giveaways. I don't know if we're actually doing giveaways, but now the boys are going to have to think of giveaways. So, this episode is brought to you by our great partners at Chevy Silverado. Shout out to Strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. I love driving my Chevy Silverado. It is the only truck that sits in my driveway now. Again, the Strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. The Silverado is strong, dependable, hardworking, gritty. It is a driving lunch pail, boys. It is dependable like the people who drive them, you, other lunch pail grinders. The design is big, bold, and commanding, and this truck turns heads. I hate to say it, but I am not the best parked Chevy Silverado on my street even. There's a neighbor next to me who's got a beautiful High Country that's got the lift kit on it. It's got the nice tires. Like he outdoes the boy. I don't even have the best Chevy on my street. But I damn near break my neck every time I walk outside looking at it. tailgating, hauling, towing, off-roading, moving day, helping out a friend or family member, road trips, whatever you want to do, road tripping down to the tailgate this weekend to see a beautiful Chevy Silverado parked on Broadway with that beautiful bus. Go to a Chevy dealership near you. Let them know the boys sent you. You might get a free tailgate, you know, as I always said. But, hey, shout out our boys at Chevy Silverado. All the love. The best partner in the game. The grittiest. The best truck. Now let's go to the episode. Bussing with the boys. Open doors. Big hugs, tiny kisses.
Like, you are the biggest athlete investor that
ever.
We could have even landed.
Damn, dude.
There's nobody better than you.
I've truly been trying to invest, though, since... Come on now.
Yeah.
I want to hear you say it.
I would say probably day one.
Yeah.
Hey, let me get in. Let me get in.
You would never let me.
No, I didn't want to take like most of your salary.
But
that's probably what it is. Yeah.
It probably was. He probably felt bad. Like at the beginning, was it always tough? Like not allowing like close friends and family.
It's not
invest.
Even, I don't think it's about not allowing. It's just like the timing has to work out the right way. It's like, it's not like as a company, you're not just always taking on money. There's like periods of time when you're taking on money, and then your major investors, they have to be a part of it. You have to find a lead investor, and then it goes through the process. So when someone's like, hey, let me invest, it's like, well, if you ask the question at the right time, it might actually happen, right?
That's right.
But if you don't, then it's like, hey, I know you're interested, and we're going to come back to it when it makes sense.
Got you. So as we get started, because I'm actually going to have to introduce you guys, yeah. You know, because you guys are like business guys. You guys aren't like, you know, the superstar athletes where everybody knows who's going to be on the bus. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I'm going to have to sell my soul to get people to come and listen to this pod.
That's fine.
Like, I know you guys don't understand right now, but if you click the link and listen to the boys, you guys are going to learn a lot in this episode. Mm-hmm. But we have, these are the founders. Is it? You guys have ego. You guys both co-founders? Yeah, is co-founders. That what you guys say?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
founders of Open Doors, Blake Lawrence and Adi Kanalik. Adi, you are from Bosnia?
Bosnia originally, yes.
Blake is from Kansas City, Missouri or something like that. Yeah. Kansas.
They're cool side of Missouri, yeah.
And I played with these dudes in college. So we were all at Nebraska together. In 2008, when I was getting recruited, Blake was my host on my recruiting trip. And so I've known these dudes throughout Nebraska. We've done the GPPs, the workouts. We've grinded together. Like, I'm having Bo on. I'm having Coach Bo on. Like, we all play for Coach Bo. And these dudes are like real-ass entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are running, pioneering this whole NIL market, name, image, likeness in college. Obviously, people see college football, but NCAA. But you guys do stuff for Open Doors. Is partnered with who? NFLPA?
Yeah, NFLPA, MLBPA, NBPA. WNBPA, NHL, PGA Tour, LPGA, UFC. Team USA. Yeah, like the majority of professional sports organizations use Open Doors in some way.
And you guys, your platform has essentially been built to pioneer this NIL movement that is now happening in throughout all of collegiate sports. We're like, I don't know when this episode's dropping, but right now we are 2 weeks removed from the announcement of this whole NIL, this Wild West of athletes being able to, you know, get sponsored and make money off the field.
Yeah. Well, and that's something we always say, and Blake's said this time and time again, like NIL is not new to sports. NIL is new to college sports, right? As it pertains to student athletes. So this has been around for a long time. We've been helping athletes, professional athletes, monetize their name, image, and likeness since 2012. So like it's in our DNA, like foundationally, this is why we built the company. It just happens to be that the market shifted in our favor. And now we get to continue to help even more athletes with student athletes being involved.
Yeah. Explain what Open Doors is.
Yeah. So Open Doors is the most innovative and compliant way that athletes can monetize their name, image, and likeness. So you see an athlete promoting a product on Twitter, you see him showing up and doing an appearance, like that whole experience, somebody had to reach out to that athlete, pitch them an idea to promote their product, go through the contract negotiations, pay the athlete had to do it, send it out, measure it, sign the agreement, get paid, do their taxes. And that whole process is very complicated. Open Doors is a software that automates all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So if a brand or fan goes to opendoors.com, they sign up, they'll find out like booking a deal with any athlete is as easy as booking a trip on Expedia, right? Mm-hmm. Like you find the athlete, there's 50,000 of them in one place. You say, hey, I want to send Will Compton an opportunity to do an appearance for my business. You click Will, you click appearance and say, I'll offer him $10. Because that'd be market for you.
Like
probably.
$5. Yeah.
Yeah. $5 for an hour.
A lot of my shit's usually free. Like sometimes I'll text you like, yeah, when the fuck is Nebraska going to pay?
Yeah. You're not pushing big dollars to the door. You know? But it make it super easy. Like this is, you talk about student athletes starting to get paid. The student athlete, let's say about pro athlete endorsements. There's about 5,000 pro athletes in North America that move the needle with like athlete endorsements. Right. Mm-hmm. And now that NCAA student athletes are able to make money through endorsements, like there's now 500,000 student athletes in the market. So the market got 100 times bigger 2 weeks ago. And so Opendoors is getting a ton of traffic. Like every student athlete in the country is signing up for this tool because it's the easiest way for them to make money, but follow the rules.
Right. When did you guys start to realize that? Because obviously compliance, a lot of legal shit, like you guys will know being on the business side of everything, but like, When did you start to become aware that, okay, you do this stuff for all of like professional athletes and you're making the seamless software program where you can go on the app and you can find the athletes. But when NIL started to come for college, like how did you guys have to start to pivot and build your programming for the NCAA, like the collegiate level? Because there's a lot of compliance issues.
There's
like
a lot of rules, yeah.
You know, every coach in America right now is probably having a team meeting about distractions and everybody, like, you know, Dave comes out and talks about Barstool athlete.
Right.
And every athlete in America essentially wants to throw their ass at Barstool for a t-shirt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now they got Barstool athlete and everything. Like it's the wild, wild west. So what kind of pivot did you have to do to start to build and prepare for this all happening in college?
Well, here's like, I'll take you back. Like the 2013, we had Prince Amukamara. So we all know Prince is on the bus, right? He's one of the boys.
Yeah.
And so Prince was back and we had just launched like the very first version of Opendoors and he was in our office in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we paid him $10 to send out a tweet like, hey, just signed up for Opendoors, right? And he was like, $10, like he was making $1,000 a tweet at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, sent it out. And the very next day, the NFL Players Association called us, right? So like the NFLPA, MLBPA, NBPA, like they're watching, they're listening, like every single business that any of these, you know, athletes promote, they got eyes on it, right? And so from that day, like seriously, the second day the thing was live, we started to think about how do we build compliance and rules, like making sure that if an athlete's going to use this thing to make money, that they're not going to lose their eligibility. They're not going to get in trouble with the union. So like we've been doing the compliance thing for a long time. It's just, it's not sexy, right? But like athletes, for you just hit a green button, you make money, right? But Opendoors, our job is to make sure that you're following all the rules.
Yeah. And then we were championing athletes the entire time. I think, so like people, like when we look back at, especially now that NIL is hot and it's trendy, everyone's like, hey, how did you guys know that this was coming? And it's like, truth be told, like there wasn't like this magic time where we're sitting there like, hey, the NCAA is going to change their rules one day and we'll stand to benefit from that. Like that was never the intent. I think we knew that if the company is around long enough, because at the core, we've been always just trying to help every athlete. That's our vision statement. We've said that for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
So we're like, if we're around when these rules change, man, holy shit, like we'll actually be able to help every athlete, not just professional athletes, not just retired athletes, not just alumni athletes, but like every athlete in student athletes. And so we got a letter in the mail. It was like 2019, like that summer-ish. And Blake walks up to my office and he's like, he printed it out, right? And he puts it on my desk. And I'm like, what is this? And I look and there's a blue dot in the top left corner. And it was the NCAA. And they're like, hey, it's basically like we are considering changing the rules or the legislation, and we would love to invite you to be part of the working group because we know your extensive experience helping professional athletes with name, image, and likeness for the last 6 years at the time, 7 years at the time. So they're inviting us to be sort of the experts to help them navigate what is coming. And when we saw that and Blake sitting in my office, I'm like, things are really going to change now. Like it was like the most exciting day because we just,
when was this like
2 years ago, almost to the day.
Yeah.
It was in July 2019. Yeah.
And you were in Lincoln and you just literally put, I'm like, wait, what is happening?
You're probably like, yo, do you fucking see it?
Yeah. No, he was excited. Cause like he's, you know, I'll give him credit. Blake's a visionary. So literally he had that. And it was later that afternoon, he comes in, he's like, here's the model, dude. Here's how this is going to work. And I'm like, when did you do this? You know? And he like canceled all his meetings, and he had already like, you know, he's got a freaking whiteboard and whatnot, but he's like, he had already drawn up
all
the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
And like, just like, cause it's, we had all this institutional knowledge of how this should work.
Yeah.
And Blake's like, dude, if we just do this, we already have compliant technology. We already know the people in the space. And the thing is, like Blake mentioned, all the acronyms, all the different sports organizations. What's interesting is they all have different rules.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you're a brand and you want to work with NFL players, if you don't have a NFLPA license, you can only work up with the 5 active players. Once you go beyond that, you got to get a license. Well, with the MLBPA, it's 2, right? Yeah, it's 2. Only 2 players. So if you're
and these are guys who are not in the union. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's like, you have to understand all those rules. A lot of times we were educating brands that were looking to spend money in sports on what it's like to work with players. So then this whole thing is like, of course the NCAA is going to reach out to us and be like, hey, if we're going to do this, what's the right way to do it?
Right.
Because there is going to be a lot of compliance. There's going to be a lot of regulation. What are the rules that should be in place? And so he's like, dude, it's right here. So that was exciting.
Like right there.
Yeah. So like
that was the only compliment I'm gonna give him all day.
He's gassing me up.
For every compliment that I give Blake, he gets, I just destroy him.
Oh bro, well, we've done nothing but dragons since you guys got in Nashville.
Compliment to insult ratio 1 to 5.
That's 100%.
One to five.
Way higher.
Yo, so how, when all of it finally got announced, like obviously you guys are probably still living in the highs, probably some lows too. I know you've been in some phone calls as well. Mm-hmm. Like what's it been like since it's all dropped, since it's all been announced? Like how many athletes have actually started to benefit off of Open Doors, like off of name, image, likeness? Because I mean, everyone thinks, like I think the same way, is probably only going to be the best player on every team or maybe the hottest. Mm-hmm. Like how many athletes have actually started to benefit from this?
Well, I mean, there are right now there's 40,000 student athletes that use Open Doors, and like they are all one click away from getting an endorsement deal. Like we have a brand partner, GoPuff, that's basically like, hey, we will pay every single student athlete in the country. Like, because there's so many people like, oh, only the quarterback's going to get a deal. Only the, you know, the starting point guard's going to get a deal. But we've got a brand that's like, no, we will offer every single student athlete in the country, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as a student athlete downloads the app and signs up, they get their first endorsement deal.
Mm-hmm. So what is GoPuff? They must be like, they must have a shitload of money to spend, right?
It's a snack delivery app, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's like Postmates, but for a college campus. It's open 24/7. You need snacks in the middle of the night, man, GoPuff is there. It's
no, cool. No free shout outs.
No free shout outs to GoPuff. You better spend on Open Doors to pay for this fucking shout out. Oh really?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So I'm just behind the time. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's perfect for like college campuses.
Dude,
like
that's their audience. It,
like, cause you're like, you're playing video games. You're hanging out with the boys, and you're like, I just need like some snacks. And we all have had that moment. And you go on their app, and it's right there.
So it's like it's natural. Like that's one of those things that, being in college, you know, you go back to Nebraska, right? Everyone knew that there was a Monster rep or a Red Bull rep or like the dude that was working at the bar, you know, and everyone knew that guy. And so like these businesses have always tried to find the most influential like fraternity, sorority member to like be an ambassador, right?
Right.
But all these brands, the easiest way to know who the most influential person is on a campus is to pick a student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never, ever been able to actually pay a student athlete to be an ambassador before.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if so they did, it's always been in the, you know, in an envelope or...
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're GoPuff, you'll go into Open Doors, and if they want to pay every athlete, are they basically going to pay the face value that's sitting on the athlete, like based on what your guys' metrics are that have curated like a price? You know what I mean?
These guys have a flat rate offer for anybody. Mm-hmm. It's the same for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So, and they're just like, hey, if you're a student athlete and you turn on deals, then boom,
within
seconds, you get your first endorsement offer. You say yes, and then Open Doors automates, like they send out the tweet. They send in the payment. We handle the tax preparation. Like these kids are getting paid within seconds of signing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
And we have a bunch of partners that are comparable to GoPuffs that are lining up for these, we call them like welcome offer programs, where what they want to do is they want to be able to help every athlete. So we're like, well, that aligns with what we want to do. So like our idea for Open Doors in the future is that as a student athlete, if you have the app, that every week there's a deal sitting there for you from a different brand. Like every week you're like, oh, I just went to the app and I'm able to make $50. I'm able to make $100. And I think the coolest part also from all the brands that we've been like, just everyone that's been calling us inbound to really figure this out, is there's just like, where everyone's thinking that they're just going to go after the quarterback or the star volleyball player. It's like most of the brands that want to do big things at scale are like, I want to help every athlete. I want to do it with gymnasts, with the softball players. I want to do with niche sports. And that's really cool, because think about it, those are like the sort of kind of underdogs. A lot of times, they don't get any love. They like everybody's football, basketball gets all the love. And now we get to actually prove out the model to say that every student athlete should benefit from this, from name, image, and likeness, and they get to actually do it.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Look, life is full of stressors, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you have, your life is probably stressful in some kind of way, whether it's jobs, money, having a wife. I know me personally, the reason my wife and I go to couples therapy every other week is because she drives me insane. You may not be feeling down and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress is high, your temper is shorter than usual, like when your wife wants you to take out the trash when you get home and you're finally wanting to kick your feet up and watch the game, or even if you're starting to feel a little strain in any other relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Unload the stress and get it out. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life, someone who isn't going to judge you or take sides on anything. When there are things that you can't tell anyone or feel like you can't unload to family and friends, you need to unload it somehow, and that's what therapy can be. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be quite surprised at what you might gain from it, and see if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/bussin. That's BETTERHELP.com/bussin. And I'm just kidding, sweetheart. I love you. It's just for the podcast. But betterhelp.com/bussin. So how many kids have probably benefited from the deal?
I know
in the last couple of weeks.
In the first couple of weeks, there's more than 5,000 endorsement deals been just facilitated through Open Doors.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. 5,000 the first 2 weeks. Yeah.
And you have 40,000 athletes signed up right now.
Yeah, student athletes, and each one of them, like they're just gotta turn, like flip the switch and get the deal. So like as we're sitting here, there's probably 100 new student athletes that are getting their first deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
That's pretty. I mean,
What's it look like if as people continue to sign up? Like, say you had how many student athletes are there?
There's 500,000 student athletes. Mm-hmm. So if every student athlete in the country made an average of, let's say, $200 a month, mm-hmm. okay, that would be $100 million a month in endorsements, right? That is going to flow into this market, mm-hmm. and like somebody has to manage it. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody has to make sure that dude is getting paid for that thing. And it's not a recruiting inducement. It's not a pay-for-play scheme. Like, mm-hmm. he's not getting paid by his coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, unlike the professional athlete market, like, this is super regulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then again, and 99.9% of student athletes won't have an agent, mm-hmm. but 100% of them will have an app, right? Mm-hmm. And that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are the tool that they're using to monetize their name, image, and likeness. And what's wild is, like, we started this thing just to help one athlete, help two athletes, help mm-hmm. three athletes, but now we're on a path here. It was like, this should be the standard for every student athlete, every pro athlete, like for the mm-hmm. rest of their career to do this right.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
That is wild. I'm sitting here thinking, like, you were bringing up the agent stuff. Like, do you see a lot more agents now getting in this atmosphere of collegiate sports?
The economic model doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you're essentially saying you can like brands. Why sit there and negotiate with an agent when they're going to try to hold the leverage of a player when you can just go on this, when you can essentially just go on Open Doors?
Mm-hmm. It's like we don't.
You guys are the middleman yourself.
Yeah. We don't replace agents, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you're a brand wanting to spend, like,
but we would repair like what an agent would do. Or like, I just like, there's so many of these. Okay, the economic model of being an agent. Imagine you're at Nebraska and you're pulling in $200 a month. Mm-hmm. Like for you, that's real money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right? No question.
But an agent would take 10-20% of that?
Mm-hmm.
So what agent is going to get out of bed and be like, man, I'm going to work my tail off and make 10 bucks this month? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Because where it all started was like 2011. Like I had my short time in Carolina. I remember being in the locker room, and back in Nebraska, Blake and I were helping athletes get deals, like some of our former teammates, right? And I'm in the Panthers locker room, and I know, like, my agent cared about me, but it didn't make sense for him to go and find a local Charlotte sponsor who would want to work with me. It just didn't make sense, because it was, even if it was a $300, $400 deal, I had a small audience. What's he going to make, $40 on that, when he can go spend the same amount of time for a starting linebacker and get a $15,000 deal? So I can't be mad at the agent. The problem was access. So we're like, hey, let's build a platform that addresses the access problem. Why are only Peyton Manning and the Tom Brady's getting all the endorsement dollars? It's not that brands like don't want to work with the niche athletes. Like, for you, you've got a really passionate, did you hit 100K yet?
Yeah, I think we did today.
Oh, shit. No, man. Congrats, man. Congrats.
Yeah, it feels really good. You're now getting
to that into that next tier, right? But it's like, you know, it's like, it's not, it didn't feel fair that all the top athletes were getting all the deals. And the brands really did want to work, even with the 100K athletes, actually probably even more than that. But they had the issue of access. How do I get a hold of them? I don't want to negotiate this, like, because it's not really a big span, but it would be advantageous for the athlete. And so we're like, we need to solve that problem. So we started solving that problem back in freaking 2011, 2012. And what Blake was saying, when the NFLPA called us, they're like, we need this problem solved for all 2,000 of our active players. And then here we are 10 years later, and we're trying to solve that problem for 500,000 student athletes.
Yep. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Not even only the 500,000 student athletes, also the ones you still work with, you know, all the pro guys too.
But. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the cool part too, is like to know that, you know, you can log in anytime, like, to Open Doors, and you can see deal flow, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, the largest car company on the planet just sent out 500 endorsement deals to every Olympic athlete, like every mm-hmm. Team USA Olympic athlete. You're like, that's cool, mm-hmm. right? And then the next, you scroll down, it's like, oh, a food truck in Lincoln, Nebraska just paid the All-American volleyball player to be an ambassador for the year. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. You know, and then you just keep scrolling, and you mm-hmm. get to a point where it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's Alex Morgan getting paid real, real money mm-hmm. just to drop a post on Instagram. And, you know, you build this tool with a dream, like, that cool things can happen. And then eventually you have a team around you, and you mm-hmm. just get to see it kind of come to life. It's like its own little thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like this bus, dude, this bus at one point was a dream of yours,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like, now you get to show up, and there's people here operating this thing, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh my God, like, this is bigger than me. This is mm-hmm. big. It's a living, breathing thing. Now you just got to like kind of guide it, coach mm-hmm. it, you know, mm-hmm. but it's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, it's hard. Like, everybody would want to sponsor probably, you know, a niche of a team, or mm-hmm. like a group of a team, or a position group, or the mm-hmm. entire team.
Yeah.
But it's hard when you got to work with probably, you know, all those different agents yeah. and all those different people.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you have no clue of the guys who have like small little followings, but they That's do right. some damage.
That's right.
And it's not worth it for that agent to be sticking out their neck, because mm-hmm. like you were saying, mm-hmm. your agent would only make, you know, $20
well, yeah.
off of like a $400 deal.
That's right. Well, and think about like the nuance that exists. Like, so most of the time, even early on, brands, it's not about just working with one athlete. They want to work with 10 athletes. And if they're all represented by different agents, that's 10 different marketing reps or agents.
Yeah.
So like it just
different negotiating
styles. Yeah. Chaos, all, real quick, different yeah. contracts. Yeah.
So then it becomes a headache. Now you're like, I don't even want to do this, because that's too much. Or let's say 9 athletes were miraculously easy to work with, but the one agent is just being like, it's tough. And again, it's not the agent's fault. They're negotiating on behalf of their athlete, and they might feel that the athlete is worth than they should be, or vice versa, right? And it just slows down everything. So then a lot of marketers just would just not want to do it, because like, I don't understand athlete marketing. It's too confusing. I don't want to go down the path of having to negotiate way too much of this. And so we're like, okay, we'll create a tool so that all these parties can feel informed. They can do it quickly. And when it's all said and done, it gets executed, and the athlete literally just pulls their phone out. They click approve, put their phone back in their pocket. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. So to explain what essentially happens, like us at Bussin, we use Open Doors. Like we use, when we get yep. all of our content, mm-hmm. it gets dropped into Open Doors. So I get a text. Yep. Once the content, all the boys get done making the content, mm-hmm. I get a text on my phone. Your folder's ready. for all the content we've made for Bustin' with the Boys. I click on that folder, it takes me to our folder, and it's got all the clips, all the photos, anything I might want to post. And I can sit there and click on a photo, or I can click on a clip, and I can hit tweet or Instagram, and I can make the caption right from there from the app, and then it goes right out to the platform. That's how it helps us on Bustin', but how it works for like the athletes, we're sitting here talking about, they get a text and you can hit approve. So if Bustin' with the Boys wanted to, you know, I'm looking at Jack. Jack's a student athlete. If Bustin' with the Boys wanted to sponsor Jack, throw him some merch, throw him $50. Yep. We would go into opendoors.com. We would see, based on what we want to get accomplished, that Jack's our player or a group of players that we find. These are the guys we want to hit, because these are the metrics. This is how well they do in that city. This is the reach we want to have. I click on Jack, a couple other guys, and send out this deal to them. It goes through, it filters through your guys' software. The only thing that happens for the athlete, they get a vibration in their pocket, just like a text message. They get a text message. It comes from a Nebraska number 402. You open it up, and it says Open Doors has a deal for you. Go check it out. You click on the link. It takes you right to it. It shows you the tweet that you're going to have. It shows you the caption that's going with it. It shows you the graphic. It shows you everything. You hit that it's worth $50 and some merchandise. You hit accept or decline. If you hit accept, it says thank you, we will take care of the rest. It goes out for Bustin' with the Boys at the timestamp we picked it, at the day we chose, the date, time, all of it. It's seamless for both sides. The athlete benefits and gets the money in their bank account, and then obviously the merchandise gets shipped to them. If they hit decline, they hit decline, and nothing happens. Or you can edit it and make the caption your own. But did I anything I missed there?
Dude, I was gonna say,
I'm sitting here trying to think of.
I'm like, damn, you want a job, bro?
Yeah,
you want to do sales for
Let's
us?
Do it one more time. Yeah. Maybe you can smooth it up.
And every year in Nebraska, where the season starts or a spring game happens, they target the alumni to do a spring game post. It comes in, says it's for free, so we're always doing a sell for the boys. Shout out to the boys. And there's always a graphic with, like, you know, spring game is 51 days away, and I'll be like, oh, that's a corny caption, so I'll edit the caption.
Right.
Hit accept. And then literally the tweet, I could be chilling all day long, and the tweet would have been out there, and, you know, you just, they take care of it for you.
Dude, and you know what's wild is, like, I love how you say that, and there's a lot of people that listen, they watch this show, and they see you, Will, they see Taylor, and like, you are the 1% of 1% of athletes that understand, like, how to properly market yourself. Like, you're active, you're on social media, you're saying the right things, right place, right time, and the majority of athletes aren't natural marketers, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was one of the things that we had to learn over this last decade too, was like, you know the old saying, like, if you build it, they will come, right? Like, every startup founder is like, oh, we're going to be billionaires in a day, you know? Like,
no doubt. You know, like, you like know we throw this idea, let's figure it out, we're rich tomorrow.
Dude, just getting a rocket ship to the moon, you know? And that's not how it works. Like, you got to go through fits and starts and realize, like, that these athletes are like, hey, why aren't these brands, like, jumping on these athletes? And then you would go to the athletes' feed, and they haven't, like, tweeted or posted on Instagram in a month. You know, and like, imagine you work at ESPN, you're trying to, like, hey man, this is the best show, you should advertise in the show, and like, oh, let me watch it, you turn it on, it's static. Like, no one's gonna buy advertising on a static TV. Right, so what we realized, like, we had to find a way to, like, help athletes figure, like, you gotta market yourself, man. Like, you gotta photos, videos, content, like, you gotta be pushing that stuff out all the time. And like, that's the secret, is that everyone that's listening here, that behind the scenes of your favorite athlete most likely is this Open Doors app that's, like, hand delivering them photos, videos, content from their team, their league, their alma mater, so they can be more active, because none of these brands want to work with athletes unless they have something to say and they're saying it.
Correct. You
know? And, like, again, most athletes aren't natural marketers. Like, Will Compton is an anomaly. He's a freak.
Okay.
All the boys back there, like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
He just hit 100K followers, and 100K now he's saying he's an anomaly.
He's a freaking
Jesus.
This guy is the most natural marketer.
Well, I remember too, like, you're wanting to make content for the athlete. So also, like, in my Open Doors folder, I have all my Washington photos, my Tennessee photos.
I did that for you.
You did. All my Oakland Raider photos. All of it. All those different folders. And then obviously all the Bustin' assets that we have. But
the last thing I'll add on the comment, because I think it is important, is like, we realize that, like, not all athletes are marketers, but consistency is the one thing that you can't. Like, as long as you're sharing something, you're going to be growing, right? So, like, the worst thing you can do is not share anything. And
because you're worried about it.
Yeah, you're worried about something.
Like, yo, just post it.
Exactly. Just post a photo. Like, I like I would say I'm like social media introvert. Like I don't share a lot. I know what my brand is, but like once I figured out like the things that I like to talk about is that I like to champion other people. I like to champion my teammates. I like to talk about when other people are winning. I love that shit, right? If our company is doing something exciting, I love that stuff, right? And so you just double down on those things. And like, imagine if you had a folder, it was just you and your teammates. You could literally like every week just post that or go and make fun of one of your teammates, right? Or do something, right? That's content. You're not talking about yourself. For those athletes who are, again, more on the introverted side, like, dude, social media is not for me. It's like, yes, it might not be for you, but your fans, they do care about what you're doing.
And this is the only window of opportunity you have.
Like, exactly.
Like, you think about this, like, man, I cannot believe that Will Compton is still playing in the NFL. You
know what I'm saying? Like, hey, that's
because I saw miracle. This fool day one recruiting trip. I said, this dude?
Yeah. That's
this dude. Dude, remember when Callahan got fired? You were committed before, like, you weren't committed to Bo, right?
Yeah, correct. I was committed to Callahan.
Yeah,
first.
And like then like, dude, there's a beast. We gotta keep him. Four star. You know, and I'm like.
Yeah, and you came in the dorms. Dude. Me and him were roommates. We had that super double. And then you came in there.
Yeah,
and
that super double.
And you're like, dude, but Missouri, though, like, I might go down to Mizzou. I'm like, dude, stop it.
Oh, my God.
Stop
dude,
it.
Get out of here.
Stop it.
Dude, it's a hometown state. Dude, you know, Will's got that raspy voice.
Yeah. You do, dude.
He's like, I don't know, man.
With them little chiclet teeth, too.
Yeah. Dude, they were a classic.
You left those in Bonterre. When you came up. Yeah, those were down there somewhere.
Pick them teeth up. Jeez. But no, like, you imagine though, you're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were playing at the same time, bro. We started together.
Mm-hmm.
And like I haven't been a football player for 12 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But
because of concussions.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had some concussion issues, yeah. Right?
You would have been in the league.
A little. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was beasting you in practice. I guess what I'm saying. Like this guy? Jeez.
How much could you bench 135? How many times?
I got it like to 11 one time. Dude, I was so weak.
Yeah.
Like, Blake was like the only dude who had the body where like the tight fit shirt like looked like a t-shirt.
No, dude, that's not right.
That's
hey, what's the strength coach that... he's at Tampa Bay now.
Coach Wade.
Oh, Wade.
Coach Wade. Dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wade's dope.
He told me every day, he said, hey, Lawrence, you're skinny fat. I'm like, what?
What is that?
That's brutal.
That's pre-dad bod mode. Like, that's like when dad bod was not a thing yet. Like, you had a dad bod when you were like 19.
I'm trendy, dog.
And you didn't have children or a wife.
I was dad bodding before dad bod was cool.
That's actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Just pounding the Gatorade shakes, trying to get big.
No, dude.
I got some. Yeah, we did used to pound some Gatorade shakes. I used to put them in my pockets when we weigh in, dude. Mm-hmm. If you're underweight, remember when you're underweight, you had to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, that's the most brutal
thing. How about Dobson saying, he's like, yeah, we should have never made you guys do that. That was terrible.
Yeah, I know. He admits he a lot of stuff.
Like, yeah, he does. He does. He's like,
but you guys were so, like, he talked about what the culture was like. When they got there and they had to just do some extreme ass shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
they did it right though. I mean, I gave them a lot of compliments. I'm like, we needed to get our ass kicked. That's how you get people to like fall in line and actually do things and commit. And
yeah,
they met Dob yesterday.
Did they really?
Yeah. Dob was here for the Dale Jr.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
He
Dobson, is. Dude. He liked you guys. Fuck, I was a project. He's like, this dude? That, yeah, dude that real little, I was like, just so little, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I would go in to get the chocolate milks. I'd get them out of the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had pockets in those Adidas shorts. Yeah. I would go down there, like, mosey down, and I'd have two chocolate milks in my pockets. Mm-hmm. And we would weigh into the Hawks, and then there was that closet right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would weigh in, and I'd make weight, and then I would duck into that closet, take out the chocolate milks, and just chuck them into that closet. I did it all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day the trainer was going in there to get like the pads out and she came out gagging, you know, because
because all the spoiled milk.
Racks of spoiled milk in this hot ass closet down in the. I made weight though. I never had a roll. Just made that trainer's day though.
Shout out Cigars International. No free shout outs. Shout out Will. Right now, Cigars International is offering our listeners 10% off your order plus free shipping. Just go to cigarsinternational.com and use promo code BOYS at checkout.
Talk about a personalized story. You smoke cigars?
I do smoke cigars, but I'm kind of pissed off about the most recent one because Will was smoking cigars yesterday with a bottle of bourbon, didn't get one text. He was clearly out there by himself. And none of the boys got hit up by Will to go smoke cigars.
I don't smoke cigars with dudes that look like that, dude.
That look like what? A beast?
Look like a beta.
Look at that. That's what smoking cigars will do. Get you a body like this. Whether you are working from home or just kicking back after a long week, there's no better way to relax than with your favorite cigar. And Cigars International has the deals and selections to meet all your cigar needs. Cigars International is home to the largest, what's that word, Will? Humidor?
I'm just watching the screen. I don't even know. Yeah, humidor.
Humidor in America. All the brands you know and love are available here, from the big top-selling national brands to the small boutique cigar makers. Cigars from Nicaragua.
Get a little more enthusiasm.
More enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Redo that bullet point?
No. Just start at cigars from Nicaragua.
Cigars from Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Ecuador, the Bahamas, America, you name it, they've got it.
A little more.
More? They have great cigar deals. From their daily cigar deal to weekly specials to their Cigar of the Month Club. You got to get in one of them, man. A lot of y'all listening are not in clubs. This is the club to get into.
There we go.
Don't know where to start? Don't worry. We got you. They're the kings of making all cigar... Wait.
All-star.
They're making the kings of making all-star sampler packs, like variety pack of craft beer, but better. That lets you get a little taste of everything. Right now, Cigars International is offering our listeners 10% off your order plus free shipping. Take advantage of these incredible savings. Simply go to cigarsinternational.com and use promo code BOYS, B-O-Y-S, for those that can't spell, when you're ready to check out. That website is cigars with an S, international.com, and use promo code BOYS. Back to the episode.
Sure. Where we went off on a tangent. What were we?
I don't know.
You're talking about, you know, me still playing.
Oh my, yeah.
Building the brand.
No, I mean,
yeah, you're talking about like there's a small moment in time window.
Yeah.
And all you're right. Like, think about this, dude. You've played
it's,
for.
It's over, man. It's over before you know it. Like, mm-hmm. So, you know, one day I'm a starting linebacker in Nebraska. The next day I can never play football again, you know? Mm-hmm. And my career was done in a day. Mm-hmm. And like from that day to this moment, like I've dedicated my whole professional career, Audie has too, to making sure athletes understand this doesn't last forever. Like you have no idea how long your window of opportunity is. So if we can give you a tool, a technology, like so you can make the most of it, like these eyeballs on you are not going to be there when you're gone. Yeah. So get as many as you can, like collect them up, dude, get them. Like this is like a supermarket frenzy. Mm-hmm. Get every fan in Nebraska in the cart because you're out of there before you even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, if you do that for every athlete on the planet, like, then everyone's going to win, you mm-hmm. know? And like, you've done it. You found a way to trick all these NFL teams into signing you to play. Mm-hmm. And then you get to 100K 10 years later. I mean, like, it's a Cinderella story.
It's rigged.
You
know what I'm saying? It's
Cinderella. That is, but
God damn it,
you're playing the long game, you know? But we got to do that. And I think I know we're making a difference in a lot of kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
They have to walk
and it's
out
not,
of this
and it's not like...
Yeah, like Audie, how long did you play? Did you only play a year or 2 years? Audie was a kicker. Unbelievable kicker. I mean, kind of hurt us. Big total change. We won't talk about that.
Oh, dude, don't.
Okay. Kicked only, in the league only, for the Panthers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously you transitioned right mm-hmm. away into being a
well, we had... Well, so Blake and I had started our first company... it was a social media agency in 2010.
Heard that.
Yeah, heard that. Where'd you hear that? I heard that on Facebook. Yeah. I don't know why we chose. Actually, I do know. That company still exists.
Yeah, bro.
So we sold the company in 2014, but it's alive and well right now. Like it has probably like, I don't know, 20 employees and they carry on. It's kind of weird to walk by like and see the office.
Yeah.
And not
like
know
we started
anyone
that
there.
Company.
That's yeah. awesome. Yeah. yeah. yeah.
So
you guys started that.
Yeah. Heard yeah. That. So we started that company and I had like a dilemma and I was telling you about this maybe at some point, but like I think as an athlete, the one thing I think every athlete is taught their entire life is to not quit. Right. So the transition from wanting to be an athlete and like making a decision to do something else is very, very difficult because you feel like you're quitting something. And then most people are forced into quitting things. And I think this is why also like sometimes people just, they hang on for too long, right? Like if you don't make it in that first year in the league, usually it's like, dude, you're probably not going to make it, right?
You have or if you haven't played, like, it's like if I'm hanging on to the dream and I don't get a call for another year and it's still July and I'm like, I got to be ready to go.
And then you're like doing like, you know, we've had teammates, former teammates, but I think a lot of athletes go through this where they're like, yeah, man, I'm just like trying to make a team right now. Like I'm staying super busy. I'm like, with what?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, I just got to work out in. I'm like, and then what do you do the rest of the day? Like, well, nothing. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Right. Like, it's not coming back. And I think that is a tough part because it's the quitting thing in your head.
Right. Right. Right.
And
right, right.
It's a psyche thing, right? You're like, I don't want to quit.
And so, you find those rare examples of it working out. Like, for the majority, for the most part, 90% is done after,
like,
that happens.
A great example.
You have, like, your invincible stories and
that's
stuff,
right,
where guys get that opportunity.
Because they only cover the success stories, dude. They only cover, like, the guys that, you know, hung on and they freaking made a team. And it's great. I think that should exist in sports. But for the most part, I think when you're hanging on for that long and it's not like moving forward, you are not starting to transition into reality of life. Like, being in the NFL is not a real thing. Like, making 20 grand a week, whatever it is, minimum now, it's like, that's not real life, right? So when you start to have a real job and you start to realize how much it takes to make $40,000 a year or 50 or 60, like, you're like, what? So I'm on the side of, like, you should start to realize that a little bit sooner than trying to hang on to something and whatnot. But that, you know, that's kind of like beside the point. But, like, I had this dilemma where I got back. My last workout trial was with the Buffalo Bills. It was in December. And
going to kick in Buffalo in December.
Yeah. And I was like, I remember I called my wife,
right?
Now.
December,
yeah,
2012.
Yep. And I called Shannon, my wife, and we were dating then, and I'm like, I don't even know if I want to make this team, because I'm like, this place would suck to live in, you know. Yeah. It was just like, it's just, you know,
dang, Buffalo.
And so sorry,
you don't
want
to get choke slammed on a table.
He's probably going to now.
Yeah Right. Now I'm gonna get a bunch of people attacking me, but no, like, but I remember I came back and we had our business going at the time, and I had this, like, moment where I'm like, I'm done with these workouts, man. Like, I'm done trying to make a team. It was becoming more and more difficult to try to lead people in a company when you had, like, a side thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it was like, okay, I'm trying to build a business, but also, like, if I get a call from somebody, then I might go and do that. And so me and him had the conversation, and I was like, it felt good that, like, I made the decision to stop, right? And I don't know if I would have gotten a call again. I remember calling my agent, and I was like, hey, if I get any more inbound calls, just let him know, like, I'm done, right? He's like, well, what about Canada? I'm like, I'm not going to Canada.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not my jam. And I'm super thankful looking back that I made that transition, because one, we had something,
mm-hmm.
But two, it felt more like I was in control of the situation, the story. And I got to kick in the league. Like, it was like first Bosnian player to ever play in the NFL. Like, that was a proud moment, right?
And dude, you're the first Bosnian player to ever play in the NFL.
The it's like a
one.
Super fun fact, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dope fact.
Yeah. I mean, how many Bosnians are going to actually even have an opportunity to
do
it?
Yeah, no doubt.
If there's ever another Bosnian plays in the league, it'll probably be a kicker.
Right. Oh,
if it ever happens.
Second to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then I'm going to be like,
shadow.
Yo, what's up,
yeah.
bro?
Yeah.
What's going on?
That's true. First.
So, first. But yeah, that was a, kind of a cool thing looking back at it now, but like, and I was giving you some credit earlier, I think you've had the best, you're like in the middle of this transition from athlete to entrepreneur, like business owner, like podcast, because it's like, it is, you're like in it halfway, you're over here, but then you're doing things and like, you're doing it like the
you're
best
setting
way.
Yourself up.
Yeah. Like, and you've been investing in your own brand for a very long time to be able to do it. And it's very clear that you, like, there's a, there is effort there, there's skill there, there's obviously like the actual like talent that you have there. So I think that's really cool. And it's something that other people could look at as a playbook and actually try to do and replicate themselves.
I appreciate it. Like, I'm trying to get better at accepting compliments and everything, but
yeah.
You guys have,
isn't that funny?
I feel like I'm having too many and I'm starting to get like,
no, you're still an idiot from Montana, Missouri. You have a podcast. Like,
isn't it so funny how you give someone a compliment and then you're just waiting for the next roast? Like, you're like,
for sure.
We do got to just be better. Like, Taylor and I are trying to consciously be better. Like, when we're, you know, we had the thing yesterday, we're like, all right, let's hurry up and stop talking about this.
Yeah. And then you're like,
One more. Yeah.
That's so true.
I feel you though, man. It's like, it's always been tough because a lot of times guys don't, like, with all of it, everything we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it fires me up that you're like, it's gone in a day. Like mm-hmm. your window of opportunity is so small. It's like athletes are brands too. That book. Yeah, you guys know the book well.
Jeremy Darrow. Yeah.
Read that book in one day. The only time I've ever read a book in one day.
It had pictures in it, lots of colors.
Yeah, let's pop up book. It was a pop up book.
Yeah.
But phenomenal book. And it just breaks down the moment of time that you actually have as an athlete. It's like, look, you got your unicorns, you got your Mahomes, like you got your quarterbacks, you got your ones that they're always going to make the big money, like the 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Right.
But everybody else, like, you got to find your niche, you got to find your voice. Like, whether you want to be in it or not, like, you're in the game of social media.
Dude, you know what's
and you you don't have to care about it. If you want to do other stuff, like, you know, you want to. I don't know. But if you want to do other stuff, it's fine. Or if you want to think like, what am I trying to say here? Like, if you're not about it,
then it's okay.
It's all good.
Not everyone has to do this, right? But if you realize what you have, you should consider like using sports as a springboard into whatever you want to do.
Right. Like, if you have interest, you need to understand that this stuff is a tool.
Yeah,
and you only have a finite window, the average window, like... It's not even the pro guys. It's like if you play in college or even high school, like you have a very small window to use it as an advantage for you.
This is something I like I think LinkedIn is completely like underutilized or misunderstood. And I think
I misunderstand it because I'm not, I want to figure out.
Okay. So imagine this. When you are at Nebraska, you've got that N on your helmet, on the side of your helmet. You have a lot of leverage, right? So, like, if you wanted to meet with anybody in town, they're going to do it because you're a player. Like, you have a freaking jersey on. You're one of one. There's no one like you. So, if I'm a student athlete, I'm getting a LinkedIn. I'm connecting with everybody in the community. And let's say I care about engineering or I'm big into advertising. I would connect with everybody in the community, everyone that went to Nebraska who's in advertising, and I'd be like, hey, just want to connect with you. I'm a current student athlete. I would just love to connect with you on here. Maybe sometime I'd love to pick your brain on something. You're literally amassing this network. And at any given point, let's say in the spring, you got some downtime, you can go and grab coffee with that person. And now you've been building your network. When you're done playing sports, they will remember you. And you got to literally almost build like a network and a resume of people that you can go and work with right away.
Yeah.
Well, when you graduate and you don't have the leverage anymore, you don't have the helmet anymore, it's harder to get that coffee meeting.
Yeah. Oh, it's different.
It's different. Because totally it's not that, I don't know, it's not that like people all of a sudden don't care about you. It's just like, it's just different. We all know that.
Yeah,
right?
Like, it just is what it is. Like, you're playing a sport. Like, if I'm a fan, right? Of the Titans, and I'm a diehard fan, like, and you're watching the Titans and celebrating, and then you see one of them, or you get to have engagement with one of them, like, it just hypes you up regardless.
100%. Yeah.
If they're an alumni, it's just different. It's
just different. Yeah. I think that's one of the things, like, to what we're doing, like, a lot of these kids are signing up for Open Doors, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna get money. I'm gonna get money, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's great. If they use Open Doors to get an endorsement deal, then that is so awesome. But like, in reality, they're going to build an audience so they can get a job offer, right? Like, that's as good. And like, if you're a kid and you walk out of Nebraska with 20,000 followers, like, one of those people is going to offer you a job, right? Like, you're that's how that should work. And like, that's, again, like, trying to springboard off of that. And so we're it's fun, like, being what we're doing. But then anyone that's listening, like, I think that you, who was on the bus yesterday, I'm just going to throw off, you know, this part of the sense, right? Dale Jr. was on the bus, dude. Do you remember like the very first time that you had a Twitter exchange with him?
Pretty much. I mean, dude, we were talking about it.
I was gassed. I was geeked out, man. I was running around screenshot. I'm like, dude, Will Compton's talking to somebody cool, you know? I'm like,
you're saying you were?
I was hyped up for you.
You.
Because you. In that moment, you had to realize, bro, that you are garbage.
We don't like you, but you're talking to him.
Why is Earnhardt talking to you? No, but like, that's a... And then you, at that moment, you had to realize, oh, dang, like, I can use this platform for this. He was on your bus, on your podcast, in your city, and it all started on some Twitter exchange.
Yeah.
Like, that's the power of an athlete actually leaning into this stuff, dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, weird? Yeah, you're right. That is weird. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And because I always go for, like, when you say it's just different, like, the thing I always say is, you're better looking, your jokes are funnier, you can shake more hands when you're in the league.
That's right.
Like, or when you have a jersey on, or when you're repping something of, like, quote-unquote status, right? And the minute you're out of it, it just, it all goes the other way.
That's right.
Whether it comes off as you trying harder, a little more desperate, all that stuff.
Leverage, because, dude. Like, right, you don't have that as much, right? Because like when you're in the league, like you have leverage. So then whoever has the more leverage can in the relationship can come off maybe a little bit more desperate, or they have a motive to want something from you. When you have all the leverage and you show humility and that you're humble, that you're just grateful for, people remember that. Mm-hmm. And then later, when you don't have the leverage, those people will remember how you treated them, how you made them feel, and you'll be able to work with them,
yeah.
Or you'll be able to do something. And that's, I mean, if you think, I mean, we like it, this is all about, like, at the end of the day, it's all about what Blake was saying is like hyping people up, helping people. And that's what it is. It's like, if you are just like a genuine, authentic person, when you have leverage, then even after it's gone, people will still want to do things with you.
Yeah.
We're back with another ad. Strap up, boys. This one is about to get long, strenuous, and we might face a little adversity. But you won't face any of those things with Cross Country Mortgage because of how easy they make it. Cross Country Mortgage is much like us at Barstool, a people-first group of people. They're dedicated, redundant to the fundamentals. Rewind. They're dedicated to the fundamentals of mortgage lending, which results in a fast, convenient, and less stressful home financing or refinancing experience. I feel like the face mask is hitting the mic. Rates are unbelievably low. Don't pay the bank more money than you need to. I can barely make rent, so I'm about to go to Cross Country Mortgage. Our friends over at Cross Country Mortgage make it super simple to figure out how much you can save a month on a monthly basis and over the life of your loan. The numbers can be staggering, and you know how much you can save. Oh, wait, you don't know how much you can save unless you actually talk to an expert and figure it out. Click here, swipe up to learn more about your refinance and connect with your team over at Cross Country Mortgage. If you're a homeowner and haven't refinanced recently, you may be leaving thousands, if not tens of thousands, heck, who knows, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table over the life of the loan that could be working for you in other places like your new man cave, your back porch where you smoke cigars, Will, and don't invite people, or an investment home purchase if you want to become a real estate investor, or maybe you just have a boatload of cash in your pocket to go gamble on your favorite sports team. Rates are at an all-time low and may never get this low again. Call today for a fast, free rate quote. Our partners will save you a lot of money. Call today and our friends at Cross Country Mortgage will give you a free home evaluation that is free to you just for calling. It's free. Just like the all-star athlete, Cross Country Mortgage pushes themselves through the entire lending process. If they get blocks, they figure out ways to get the ball over the line. Run left, baby. Don't miss the window as rates are expected to creep up. Spooktober. Reach out to them and see what they can do for you. And when you connect with Cross Country Mortgage, tell them Barstool sent you. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinance your current mortgage. Ooh, Will's good at this part. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029, all loans subject to underwriting approval, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Back to the episode.
Andrew Hawkins, like we interviewed him, and one tip he gave everybody was like, when he was in the league, he at the end of every year he'd get about 50 jerseys, and any meeting, any conversation he wanted to have, he would, whether he had the meeting already or wanted one, he would send him a jersey with a written note on
That's
it.
Sick.
So that was like a
That's
memorable
really sick.
Thing.
Yeah.
So that way he always had them in their network, because it is like, if you want to relate it to anybody, like anybody in life, as they're going through stuff, everybody negotiates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like at some point or another, we're always negotiating, and it's all about having some kind of leverage or having some kind of want to fill some need.
That's right.
And in this finite amount of time, as an athlete, as a student athlete, whatever, you have that limited time to use it as much as a tool as you can.
That's right.
Because you're trending this way. And then when it's over, you hope you've built a network or an audience, the way they're explaining athletes or brands too, to where even as it goes down because you're done playing, you're still able to keep it.
That's right.
Yep, you know, the whole hockey stick, whatever it's fucking called, graph.
Well, it's scary, dude. Like the whenever like the last
Graph.
The graph.
Real tough word.
Real tough
What's
word.
Go, Augustic, graph, whatever.
Graph. God damn it, Blake. You made me lose my train of thought here. But no, I was
talking because then when it's done, it drops. If you have zero,
it's like I think about it this way. It's like it's scary. So you the last bowl game happens, and it's so interesting whether you win the game or you lose the game. But there is a ton of mixed emotions in the locker room. Everyone gets back in the locker room if you're a senior, right? So you're looking around, and there's some people that are crying because they're like, "This is the last time they'll ever play the sport again." There's some people who, like, they know they're going to have a shot at the next level. So they're just kind of like, it's just another.
It might be sad that they're not playing with the boys anymore.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like that. There's some people who are uncertain. There's some people who are like, man, this was the coolest thing that's ever going to happen in my life. That's a sad thing to say, but there's some people that have that mentality, right? Because whether you were at Nebraska or freaking Ohio State or Clemson, I don't know. But, like, those things are definitely going through people's minds. And so then whatever that feeling is, because it's almost like a timetable after that bowl game happens, after that day, it's on a decline, right? The lead up to the draft is kind of like everyone still has hope because free agency happens. Right. You might get drafted.
The whole thought is you just need to get into camp.
Exactly. I just need to get in camp. And but it's just on this like slow, like steady kind of decline. And it's crazy. Then if you then run into people in the summer who nothing happened, it's like the leverage is completely gone. And that's when you want to be like, hey, but what else have you been doing to build your brand?
Right. And even that person, you'll feel the energy from them too, that nothing's
gone. Oh my God, it's gone.
And when you haven't built, Bloss and I talk about it, but when you haven't built like a plan B, it's like that whole mindset, don't ever have a plan B because it deters from plan A. Like I personally hate that advice because I've always thought about like what's going to come next.
That's right.
So that way, whenever you transition, there's something like you just don't have that energy about you that nothing's happening, that you're at the peak and it's not going to be there anymore.
Yes, dude. Sad to say, but like you can be in denial, right? Like you're like, well, if I'm planning for a plan B, then that means I'm not 100% in for plan A. But it's almost you're almost too scared to admit to yourself that a plan B is a good decision.
I think that
you had to make that call.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was building a plan B, plan C, plan D. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, I got to be ready.
Yeah, when I was undressing, I apologize. Keep your thought. But when I got my first, I said it, my signing bonus was $5,000 being a drafted guy. Yeah. I remember putting it in my account. And I'm like, talking with my mom. She helps. We were like on this Dave Ramsey kick.
Did you go buy a Bentley? What'd you do?
No. I got to make this last for three months. This for 3 months. Thinking like what the next steps are going to be.
Same thing.
But anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just going to make fun of Audie for being a kicker. So the segue is
He's never done that.
Shitty segue.
If we're on a call together, he's bringing that up. And I'm like, dude, we've already talked to these people.
No, because he's
that
like,
kicker
oh,
joke is
no,
already thing.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I played in the NFL. I was like, no, you kicked in the NFL. Dog, that's the difference.
And then he'll be like, dude, what does the NFL stand for? Not for long. And I'm like, all right, dude, joke.
Honestly,
already heard the joke.
I came on this bus to tell those jokes to the world.
Okay, that's
and
fine.
You're just,
that's
you're
fine.
Taking them right
Your
out.
Jokes are great.
Yeah.
Yo, I love seeing the authenticity from this, too.
Dude, no, I'm just telling you. Like,
Having questions on that, like, you guys have clearly been, like, best friends since the Lynx apartments when we were all at the Lynx and Blake can't come out and play video games with us because his girlfriend at the time is pissed off at him.
Loyal,
and, you know,
dog.
He's like, but my girlfriend, you're like, yo, just come party with the boys, dude.
I would have beasted you in Halo though.
Yeah, true. I'm not a Halo guy.
I know. Yeah. You're weak,
but okay. But you guys being best friends this long, like navigating your partnership and growing this business together, like what growing pains has there been? Like what advice would you have? Like make it a two-part question too, because I have like questions for any young listeners or athletes listening that have like these inklings of interest on how to start, but let's start there.
Hey, I would say like anyone that's listening now obviously knows you and Taylor and your dynamics, right? And I think that sometimes you guys are you're goofballs 100% of the time, right? But like it is obvious, and he gasses you up every once in a while, give you a compliment like that. You balance him out, like you're running this show, right? And you get to both get on the mic, but he probably shows up and you're doing a lot of work, you know what I'm saying? Like in this relationship, like I'm more the the tailor,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I get to show up. Audie is the, like, we are a complete like yin yang, you know, mm-hmm. Audie is an absolute operator mm-hmm. and I'm over on the whiteboard, like thinking about God knows what, like some crazy ass ideas.
Doodling.
Like, yeah. I'm doodling. Like exactly. Like, my job is not drawing,
not doing any work.
That's I really don't. I really don't. Do
literally. I'm a senior in school and they're running Herd Dat, the first one they were alluding to earlier. The first business you guys built. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Blake is in my business law class, one of my business classes, and Blake is like the guest speaker and he's doodling the entire time to explain it throughout his speech. He likes speeches and doodles. That's like,
no man, it's a balance though.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think the early the biggest misconception is that we're actually friends. So that, like, I don't know why anyone thinks that.
I
think we've had ups and downs. I think we had early in our journey, we had two businesses that we were running when we were 2 years into Herd Dat when we started Open Doors, and Blake being the visionary, and me being the integrator, right? The traction thing is like, I know how to execute, build teams and scale. And he knows how to take things from like blank sheet of paper to something. Right. And so we had like a 2 year, journey where we were running separate companies. We were sort of in the same office, kind of partitioned, and then we lived together. So he would come home at night and he would try to brag to me. And he's like, dude, I just closed, you know, a $300,000 round or a fundraise from friends and family. And I'd be like, yeah, man, but I closed a $100,000 contract. So I was like, making money is way harder than raising money. Okay.
Chill.
give me money. Go make money, create value. That's weird.
Chill.
You don't know anything about that. So we would have this competition.
Hey, I took over revenue this quarter and we were up 120% over Audie's numbers last quarter. So, you know,
hey,
no big
you know
deal.
What he's competing? He's comparing those numbers to COVID last year, dude. Of course, the numbers were down.
Don't handicap me, bro.
Okay. Anyways.
And you got the big announcement. Like, you got a lot of hype this year, too.
It's being in ticket sales at the Titans. Like, yeah, dude, ticket sales are up this year. It's like, yeah, no one
at the game last year.
A lot more people in the game. So there's a ticket sale guy, you know?
And so I think that 2 year journey where we were running separate businesses and we both owned the business. So there was like, it was mutually beneficial for us to succeed in both areas. But then like when we came back and got to run Open Doors together, like I got to use my strengths, Blake got to use his strengths. And we also got to see kind of like, hey, you're really good at those things and I'm really good at these things. And that's what we should do. So I think when you can sort of understand and respect each other's strengths and then double down on those things, that's when you can have a really good partnership or a good like
co-founder. It is a balance of strengths, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Not everyone plays quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like you got to have a kicker.
Yeah. Okay. When the kicker is making all the money, that's really weird to me.
I don't
understand what's going on here.
Give me a moment in time you guys are probably both thinking about, and Neil Noggin, where it was like rough sledding between your guys' partnership and friendship to where it's like, hey, who's doing this? Like you had to navigate waters and learn about yourself to where it's like, okay, now we're finding these strengths of each other. Not were good at this over in your job. I'm good at this. We both figured it out and found our way. Like,
I think it was like early on, it was just so. As I tell the story, it feels clean, like it all happened like that, but it didn't. It was like we had to go through the learning pains of understanding that. And then you reflect and you kind of look back at it. But like, I don't know if there was like a moment in time where I'm just like, me and him, we definitely do get in arguments, right?
Where, you know, we see the bantering. I can see where.
Yeah, no, we do.
Steam.
Like,
yeah, this is fun.
We'll have that. But I think that's what's good about it. I think I always tell Blake, the best times are when he is not in the weeds of the business, right? Because he likes to come in and disrupt. And the ideas are good, but like sometimes you need to let things kind of flow and you need to trust the team will kind of get there. And then same thing, like sometimes he can come in and like it can actually help that department or that team. So it works really well.
No, I'm just saying, like, here's what happens. Like I have like 20 ideas a day, right? And like I go in and I'm like, Audie, dude, this is a good one. And like I walk out of there and like I'm like, dang, dude, I think Audie liked that idea. And like you can like look over your shoulder and he's just ripping up the paper. You know, he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, 100%.
Because I'll forget about it by the time I walk out the door.
That's
right.
That's right.
Like that's what it is to like have a balance, you know, because every person How many people since you had your first recording of a podcast have started a podcast, Will?
Mm-hmm.
That's how many, dude? Millions.
Yeah.
And they don't get to episode three, right? Yeah. Because you got, there's the difference between people who have things and people who want things or people who do things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You are doing this. Mm-hmm. I remember when you called and said, I'm going to do a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell yeah. Like, when you get it going, let me know. Because like, dude, everyone now being founders, you're a founder, entrepreneur, mm-hmm. like people probably come to you all the time. Oh, dude, I'm going to do this. And like, you check in on them. Did you do this?
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, when our very first company, we were having beers over, remember, what was that? Turtle Creek. You know, where all the boys live at Turtle Creek in Lincoln.
All the college
and
boys.
And I'm over at Audie's and we're having a six pack and we're just, you know, about to crush and go down to O Street. And Audie's like, yo, dude, going into senior year, mm-hmm. he's sitting there. He's like, hey, man, I don't want to work for anybody. Like, what should we do after I'm done playing ball? Like, what mm-hmm. should we do? Because we were always idea dudes, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm doing this, like, social media thing. Like, I was getting paid to tweet for a company, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that was my job as an intern. And I was like, I don't think I would do this, not just for this one company, but for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, like, we started bullshit and going back and forth. And, mm-hmm. like, we just finished the six, go down to the rail and forget mm-hmm. the night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next morning, I wake up groggy and I check my email inbox and Audie had sent me a one-page business plan. He said, mm-hmm. let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we started Herd At. If he doesn't exist, that's an idea that's a six pack and a night on O Street and disappear.
A rager at the rail.
Mm-hmm. And a rager at the rail. You're probably there shirt off back of the club.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
God, you would
just
be.
Just grinding on one of those rails on the side.
Yeah, dude, you would, dude. You would always be lost in that sauce.
I am fully convinced that COVID started in the back of the rail. Like somewhere in there. Yeah, like yeah, it no was doubt. Just not a good place. Yeah.
Shout out Georgia Boot, the world's most comfortable boot. Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot. For 80 years, Georgia's been making boots that work as hard as you. These boots will hold up in any condition without sacrificing comfort. I gotta be honest, this is the first time I put these boots on. Whoa, let me tell you, that's comfort. Whether you're working on your feet all day, working around the house, or grilling out with your friends, these boots won't sacrifice comfort or style. Georgia Boot offers the best work boots, wedges, loggers around. Whether you need a waterproof boot, steel-toed boot, soft toe, square toe, met guard, non-puncture shank, non-slip sole, they've got it. Head over to georgiaboot.com and use code BUSSIN for 20% off. Back to the episode.
Shout out Georgia Boot.
Shout out Georgia Boot.
I remember... Because Blake, he's always been an idea man and he's always wanted to do the entrepreneur route and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always like, I'm around these dudes a lot. So I'm low key with my like young spirit as well. Like always asking Blake, hey, like, what are you doing? And he's talking about, remember when you brought up Twitter diaries?
Yeah. My Twitter diary.
Yeah. You thought it was going to be a hitter too.
It's a banger, dude.
You're mm-hmm. like, you know, people could look back at their tweets. Like he's had idea. Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're like
that was a cool visionary one. Dude. MyTwitterDiary.com. I can't get access to the domain, but basically I take your tweets and turn them into a hard copy book, mm-hmm. put it on your coffee table. It's a pretty good idea.
Come on, who's actually going to do that?
$14.99, MyTwitterDiary.com. Just kidding. No shout outs.
No.
Don't go there. It's broken. Yeah. But no, everyone has ideas, man. You got to go mm-hmm. do it. You got to go do it. And uh-huh. like right now we're sitting here, like we have 69 employees at Open Doors. Mm-hmm. 69. And those are people like that their livelihood depends on like this. Yeah, it's a good number.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hiring anymore.
You say mm-hmm a lot.
Well, no, I'm saying what he's saying. It's like,
yeah, yeah. I would like listening to it.
Well, because so the way I think about it is like most like great businesses, like the idea initially sounds dumb at first. It just always how it is, right? So whether it's my Twitter diary or when we were
busting like, with the boys felt dumb as shit.
Yeah, it's like that, but then it becomes really trendy. Like when we first started our company, I don't think we were ever saying, oh, we want to be entrepreneur. I don't think that the word entrepreneur was like a thing back then. It was like we're going to try to solve a problem.
Yeah.
And we're going to run it. We're going to build a business. Exactly.
And then you get another one pay you.
And then like, entrepreneurship as a word became trendy. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, right? Same thing. Yeah, exactly. That made it super trendy.
Shark Tank made everyone like, oh man, I'm just going to go in there and you know, Mr. Wonderful is going to give me all this money.
Yeah. Right? You're like, dude, what are you talking about? Right. Same thing with podcasts. I think podcasts are super trendy right now. Mm. Everybody wants to start a podcast, but to actually have an operation to create true like engagement, entertainment, the business model behind it, like the licensing, the merchandise, like that takes actual skill set and effort and strategy and planning. That's the whole thing that Blake's talking about. Like you have to go actually do it. But when we were starting, we were like, hey, let's just solve a problem.
Yeah.
And see how many people have that problem. Is anyone else doing anything about it already? And like how can we get it going?
Yeah. What for you guys, like getting stuff going and off the floor, like for people out there that like have ideas and they want to learn about like growing business, like me in particular, like you guys have both mentored me, Audie more so than Blake.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have time for you.
You don't, dude. You always give me good ideas.
The way you guys talk about your dynamic in the
office is like, I feel like the dynamic of mentoring I get as well, like where you'll have ideas and if I need to go to like execute and put operating stuff into play. Adi's always a good
one. If you
want
to actually make real money and like scale things, you come to me. If you want to get distracted,
when I want to check on my teachings of Will, I turn on television on Sundays and I say, taught him everything he knows.
He does. Dude. He tries to ride that all the fucking time.
Well, it's true, man. You're on the bench most of the time.
You have that one photo of me and you're on the bench.
Huh? Yeah.
You have that one photo of me and you're on the bench.
Man, I was really good at standing on the sidelines too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Taught you everything you know.
With starting and getting all this stuff off the ground, like outside of schooling and education, like me, a lot of my stuff that I get is through books or through like mentoring, like you guys, like asking people who are doing things that I would like to do or pick their brain. Like what types of tips or advice do you have for people like that? Like where did you figure out a lot of this operating stuff? Is it always through school or is there books? Is there philosophy? Like what are some of the learnings that you've had?
Well, I think first you need to figure out what's your like learning vehicle? How do you learn? And what I mean by that is like, do you learn by reading books? Do you learn by talking to people? Do you learn by doing? Do you learn by watching? Like, so once you figure that out, because some people are like, oh, well, I'm just going to go read a bunch of books. I'm like, well, what do you do with that information? Are you able to actually apply it or whatnot? Like my most exciting times, and it's still to this day, is when we set very ambitious, aggressive goals for a quarter where I'm asked to do something that we've literally never done before. Because I get to go through my learning process, which is I'll go dive in on let's say we want to build a certain strategy that we've literally never done before. I like to go and read a bunch of material on that thing. And I might buy two or three books. I'm not going to read them from front to back, but just pattern matching that stuff, applying it, getting the right people to buy in. Like I just enjoy that experience. And it's been like that, like even in the early days when we're like, hey, we don't have a HR process when we got like five employees, or hey, we need to go fire somebody. And for me, I'm like, okay, well, I want to do it the right way. I want to be prepared so I can execute this the right way. So then I'll go through that process. But yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying like today we're flying into Nashville and I asked Audie a question, like, and he pulls out a book that like looks like an old tattered like Bible, you know, and he's got writing in the columns, he's got highlighted, he's got post-it notes in it. And like this dude ingests information, stores it and can pull it up like an encyclopedia, like a Wikipedia page. Like, and, but he learns from reading and
applying
and then applying, you know?
And you were talking about pattern matching. What do you mean by pattern matching?
It's like you're not supposed to, for example, like if you want to become really good at investing, you're not going to go read a bunch of investment books because they're just going to have like principles. It's like just being back in school again. It's better for you to look at case studies of people that have done great investments or companies that have gone through some or historical things that are maybe super niche or a specific subject like. I don't know, history on a certain vertical. That's way better than to go and just try to learn the fundamentals, because that's so educational. So when I say pattern matching, I'm like, okay, we as a company right now, we have 70 employees and 69 employees. He loves that. He's like, we shouldn't hire anybody for a while. So we have 69 employees. I'm like, are you 5 years old or what? But anyway, so then I'm like, okay, I'll look at like, where do we want to be? Right. I'll look at where do we want to be as a company? And then I will go and find and talk sometimes to certain people who have literally gone through that process and done it before. So I just have validation in my thinking and I have way more confidence in all the decisions that we make.
Like you're basically like a quote that you've actually told me too. Success leaves clues.
Yeah.
Like you're just finding a blueprint.
That's right. And then you just
have matching the pattern.
Absolutely.
That's where you
and you have your own spin to it and whatnot. But like, imagine every choice that you make, the more confident that you can be in it, that like you have the self-assurance you're like way more decisive. That's speed, dude. Because then you're not hesitating. Like, oh, I don't know if we should do this. It's like, it's all about speed, dude. And especially for us, like right now, it's like you should choose speed over efficiency in the face of uncertainty. And that's literally what we're going through, which is like, we got to go really fast. We want to win the market. We feel like we're a leader and we want to own that. And so we don't really have time to be like, well, what if it doesn't work? Or maybe we shouldn't do this. It's about going to town on it.
For perspective, Will, the first 2 months of July, we have tripled the amount of business in one of our products than all of last year in the first 2 weeks of this month. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm telling, like, that's insane, right? Like, I mean, like a year ago, there was 15,000 athletes that use
Upwork. What's up, JP?
Now there's 50,000. Your response. Oh, where you go? Oh. Well, dude, I love that, man.
God damn, dude. Yeah. Look, these dudes know me too well. Will just retaining the information, and that's his reaction. Dang. Mouth open. Fuck, dude.
How? Yeah, but like that's a real deal. Hey, you know how many, like, we hired 27. Audi hired 15 people in the last like 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
15 people. We got to hire 8 more in the next 30, right? And like that's a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you think about, that's a person, that's their life. They got to get them to commit, believe, breathe, like, And like, that's the type, like, you move fast sometimes because market opportunities are market opportunities. And like, we have a chance to help every athlete right now. So that's what we do, you know? And you talk about learning behavior. Like, can I get my fair shake?
Yeah,
this?
You know, absolutely. Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool, my
cool,
fault.
Cool. No, I know this dude's talking.
He's a philosopher.
It's like a LinkedIn advertisement, man.
Yeah.
He is philosopher. A philosopher. Dude, I love that. That's a great word. Philosopher. Let's go.
Jeebus.
I don't know how you learn, Blake. Well, why don't you walk everyone through that? Because
I know. I'm going to make it up.
Maybe he would benefit. Yeah. Audio might benefit from how you learn.
I would love to know.
I'm going
to
start talking, and then I'll find my way to how I learn. I would say, like, Will, do you have a book? Like, have you written a book?
Yeah, I've read a book.
You have not written a book.
Oh, written a book. No.
No, but you have. You've learned a thing or two. Yeah. Right? And so, like, one of the things is, if you think about your favorite people that have taught you so much, like, have they written a book?
Yes.
They have?
The favorite people who've taught me stuff?
Like, the thing about has
it's like I'm sitting here like
Will,
I've read
has
a like
Bill
a...
Compton the second written a book.
Oh, no.
No, but you've learned a lot from that man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what I'm trying to say here
Bo
is like
Bo Pelini hasn't written a book.
Yeah,
I've
Bo
learned
Pelini,
a lot from
yeah,
him.
No, right. And that would be the top seller.
Yeah.
Bo
Focus on the process, compete every day.
Dude, that's in my email.
Bo story. Knows you open it up and it's focused on the process, compete every day.
And like 100 slides of just the same thing.
Same thing. So what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of things that I learned from people, right? Mm-hmm. I want to go find another founder that has been in a similar situation where, like, maybe they're running low on cash. They got a big market opportunity. Their head of marketing is about to quit and they got to get five new people to come in and try and fill his position. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know where you find that in a book, but if you go and like talk to five founders, like three of them are going to have a situation that was at least similar, like, you know, and most people have a similar experience. If you like strip away the industry, strip away the actual problems and just say, hey, here's the emotion I'm feeling. Have you felt that emotion? Tell me about the time in which you felt that emotion. How did you get through it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because another part of this business stuff is like, yeah, there's X's and O's, but there's the Johnnies and Joes, right? That would be in Bo's book too, right? But
that was like, solid. You should just stood on it and kept going.
Yeah, but I'll take it. But there's those things that a lot of building a business or building anything is, it's deeply emotional, right? Like, it is, you're invested in this thing. It's a part of you. So if you can go talk to people that can tell you how they felt when they went through something similar, then you can extract like that too. Cause a lot of it is like just reassurance. Like, am I doing this right? Like, am I thinking the right way? Like, are we treating people the right way? And like, at least you can learn from other people's experience, which maybe you just can't extract that from a book.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you do a good job of navigating, finding the right people who've probably been through a similar experience.
I love talking to
somebody
founders.
That you look up to. You love communicating about it.
Yeah, man. And like, Audie knows that, dude. I'll get on a call with somebody like, and they're just like one little tidbit. It's like, oh man, did you know what this dude did? Like, he sold his company for $20 million, you know, and here's what he did when they were in this situation. And like, dang, that's crazy. Cause that dude's never going to write a book and put that story in there. But now I have that story that can like inspire me to try something like that too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good.
Yeah. I learned.
It is. I mean, I feel like also like the things that we really care about, like, so for me, for example, we talked about hiring. So I think that building a team is more of an art than a science. Right. But somebody who doesn't really care about hiring or recruiting, which is a very difficult thing to do, right? Like you building a team, this is a very hard thing to do. These guys have to, they have to give a shit. They have to have ownership mentality. They have to show up when you're not here. They have to set things up. They have to care about what you guys are trying to build. For it to look and feel and turn out great, that has to be the right team. And for me, that is an art. Like I can get on an interview. Blake will be part of interviews with some people and he'll be like, yeah, that person was great. And I'm like, no. Like, because to me, it's more of an art. I'm literally interpreting everything that's going on, how they're answering certain questions, how they showed up, like what they said their background was. And it's, that's because it's something that I care about. Now, there might be some other things that are a little bit more of a science, where it is more about the principles or sort of the rules yeah. around and whatnot. But like, you are definitely more of a...
Dude, I'll hire anybody.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're going to work at Open Air, it's like, hell yeah, dude, there's a 5-star. You know, it's like, that guy is a walk-on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's,
no, but
that's
he
wanted to work here, dude.
You know, like... He believes all the time. In the vision. Yeah. Like he sees it. Like hire him. He's like
he wants to wear that in on his helmet. Dude.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's
oh
Blake, dude.
Gosh, he no, man. For sure. Like that is. But to me, that's the balance, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like because for me, anybody that believes in a second, like in the vision, I'm like, get on board, dude. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I want to win the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you got to build a team.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
For you, what's winning the game?
Well, so I think about building
a
team.
Did you ask him for him, like, what's winning the game?
Yeah.
That's a cool question.
Yeah.
Well, he said that, I'm just thinking.
I was more talking about in context of, like, building a team. But if you ask me what went in, that is a deep question.
I know. We'll sit back and talk about this shit all the time. All of us will just kind of sit around. Because you just have different angles. Like,
what's winning game for you?
The most.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know fully yet. Like, yeah. For me, it's all in like, it's broken up, right? It's mm-hmm. just broken up into different priorities.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like winning the game for me right now, career wise, mm-hmm. like I'm currently getting to do that. And yeah. I guess seeing this through, and I guess what seeing it through means to me is, I don't know, because every year, probably every 6 months, we might mm-hmm. see another level of potential we're starting to get into or tap yeah. into that we had no idea that we had really mm-hmm. no idea that it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you fall in love with something different that's mm-hmm. going on with it.
Yeah.
Man, that's such a good question, dude.
It is. It's a great question because it's hard to answer because I think if you are way too set in what your answer is, I don't know if you're trying hard enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because you feel like, oh, I won.
Like, yeah. Okay, well, what game did you win? I don't know. You want it to be fluid. Like, you know, any entrepreneur that, or let's say you're running a business and you're like, oh, the end game is I want to sell this company. I'm like, dude, you're not going to succeed. I'm sorry. Right. Because you're already thinking about an exit.
Right.
And there might be a time where you should think about that, but like, you'll know when it's the right time to think about that. But like, if you start something with an exit in mind, how are you supposed to actually make that thing great?
Hey, but here's
right?
the thing. Hey,
no, yeah.
Hey, one of my favorite things though is all advice is autobiographical. Like
yeah.
you're just talking to yourself in the past because like somebody's listening.
Hang
like,
on,
no,
hang
I
on,
start
hang on, slow down. Autobiographical. What's
like
that?
All advice is autobiographical. And like you're just talking to yourself in the past. Like if you ask mm-hmm. me for advice, all I can do is reflect on my life,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's as if I'm looking at myself in the past and myself asked me the same question. Like I'm just talking to myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyone you ever ask for advice in their life, they're just talking to themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're just trying to find a something familiar. And if you're asking for advice from somebody that's never been in your position, like why are you asking them for mm-hmm. advice anyways, right? Mm-hmm. So all advice is autobiographical. So somebody's listening is like, no, I started a company with the goal to sell it and they sold mm-hmm. it, right? Mm-hmm. And that person is always going to say,
yeah,
hey, if you start something without a goal to sell it, then what are you doing? You know, like
yeah.
what we get to talk about in our journey is we're in the middle of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to say what success is. The way to success will be, in our eyes, what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there's never the same path to the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think about that sometimes because, like, I know that you and I just, you set a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You say you want to help every athlete. And everyone's like, so what's success for you guys? You know? It's like, well, have we literally helped every athlete? Like has every athlete on the planet downloaded Open Doors and used this tool?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, there's another one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not there yet. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it's just like the pursuit of an impossible goal mm-hmm. is ultimately going to like, that is to me what this journey is, like what entrepreneurship is.
Yeah, and I think too, like the identity you build, like in it, like all the principles and stuff you've talked about, like even if that goal doesn't hit. So say my goal is, you know, 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I don't get 10 years in the NFL. It's like, well, you lost the game. And it's like, well, I mean, I'm still in the game. Exactly. Like, it's just the game has changed for me.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? And I feel like whatever you build from the inside, like going, working inside out, like all the why stuff, all the cliche why stuff that we talk about, like who you are, I guess, as a person, like you just filter to a different game every time. I don't know what the fucking end game is.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to have one, man. I think life should be more fluid. It should be just kind of, you should enjoy it. You should strive for big things. You should surround yourself with great people and actually like, and with family and enjoy life and enjoy the journey. I don't think you need to have an end goal. And maybe one day you wake up and you have one, and that's great. Good for you.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like, that's maybe what the disclaimer, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we're all sharing things about like what we have experienced or maybe heard from other people that have been appealing when they shared them with us. And like, oh, that's cool. You know, like I'll have someone tell me a story. It'll change my mind about something. I'm like, okay.
Just the perspective.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, great. There's nothing that I'm completely set on. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people will have convictions or whether it's like a political view or religion or I don't know, whatever it is. And I'm like, damn, dude, you're that set on that?
Give us examples. And I'm just
like, open it up. Like, so what are you talking about? Views, real quick.
Let's hear your craziest religious thought, please.
Let's get some clips and think about really that. Hurt you. No, that's...
Could you say some things we could blackmail you with?
Yeah. God. So that is, I think that's a... We should all have a disclaimer under everything we say or recommend. And it... I mean, that...
You said like I'm just trying to win the game. Obviously you were talking about it from the art standpoint of hiring somebody and the process that you're seeing through, but
it's team building.
I was thinking like what does winning the game mean to you? And then you threw it at me and I had no fucking clue. I'm like, oh, got him.
Hey, let me
there you go.
That's an unrealistic goal and you win along the way because winning doesn't last forever.
Yeah,
that's it, man.
That's your book you've been trying to get me on.
Yeah. It's Tim Grover. Yeah.
That's the book. We've been giving him some love. Tim Grover winning. The book winning. Because it's like when we're 23, like when I'm 23, to me, winning is like playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if I knew I wasn't going to be like a high rounder, it's like, let me just get a couple years in the NFL.
That's right. That's right.
And that's like winning the game. But like,
No, it's not.
I think that like the pursuit of some of those things, like, you know, you're the same, like, how much is enough? And the answer is just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the answer, like, when you have that next thing, you want that next thing. And so, like, you spend so much time chasing something, you don't realize, like, when you have it, because you, like, keep going. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, again, Open Doors, we've raised $20 million for this company, right? And I remember when we first raised our first, like, somebody wrote us a $20,000 check. I'm like, God dang. And I met another founder that had raised $20 million. I'm like, good Lord. Like
what is dude's that
got
like?
It all figured out. You know
dude's
what I'm
got
saying?
It all like, figured he's got out, it all yeah.
figured out. Then you're sitting there with $20 million and you're like looking at the dude that's got $200 and you're like, dude, it's got it all figured out. And then you eventually realize, like, nobody has it figured out, man. Mm-hmm. Like, go.
That never
go,
changes.
Like, just help solve one more problem, one more day, help one more person, and like, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Showtime pay-per-view. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or do I even say that?
No, you're right. Keep going. You got it.
But it says Showtime pay-per-view and most valued promotion.
Right. Presents. You got to say both.
Okay. Shout out Showtime. Showtime pay-per-view and most valuable promotions presents Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. Five-fight pay-per-view event in Jake Paul's hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. The professional boxing card will take place Sunday, August 29th. The action-packed pay-per-view telecast will be produced and distributed by Showtime Pay-Per-View, beginning live at a special time of 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Pacific. The Barstool Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of Jake Paul versus Tyson Woodley.
Tyron.
Yeah, whatever. Tyron Woodley. And we'll have tons of ways to bet fight night along with special boosted odds and featured bets. The main event will feature renowned, is that right?
Yep.
The main event will feature renowned content creator and undefeated pro boxer, Jake the Problem Child, Paul, and former UFC champion, Tyron the Chosen One Woodley. Tickets are on sale now and can be purchased at rocketmortgagefieldhouse.com. The event is also available via all major cable, satellite, and telco pay-per-view providers for $59.99. Back to the episode.
Yeah, enjoy your own shit. Dude, going
what a
on too.
Deep podcast, man. This listener is going to be like, all right, we're hour 20. Like, let's get
is this a startup
story.
Podcast or is this bussing still?
I'm stoked to finally be an investor now.
Yes, dude. Yeah. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're thinking about naming.
I say that with a little friction.
Oh, really?
Because I've always tried getting in.
I know. You've deserved to get in now.
You said I've been a guinea pig. Like, you've tried making content for me. Hey, let's do this. Okay, I'll do that. Like, when do I get to get in? Like, you don't want to get in this cuzzy.
Yeah, no. hey, bro, here's the deal.
Oh, cuzzy, you don't want to get in this thing, doggy. And I'm just like, all right, I guess we can't have a serious conversation.
Doggy, nah. Yeah, you would do that.
That's his way to handle, like, the serious talks. Doggy, you don't want to get in this thing, doggy.
You know the animoji thing on iPhone?
Yeah.
Will would only send me videos of him as the dinosaur and be like, doggy, can I put money in? I'm like, dude, yeah, this is the type of investor we need. The dinosaur, man. So you're in. You're an angel investor, like William Earl Compton III, an angel in my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds nice.
It is, dude. Mm-hmm. It is nice. But like the reality is like, when you went to the league, you said, hey, that $5,000 got to stretch. Like, I have never, ever wanted to take money out of your pocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always want to put it in. Mm-hmm. Right? And like, that's the thing is that...
You never did, but...
I know. Are
these guys going to start paying me for the tweets?
Yeah. We are now with your own money.
Yeah, I know.
Now they put some money in.
Back. No, but the truth is that, you know, these athletes, they go through and they get to that next level. They get that first paycheck and like, oh man, you should open up a Subway franchise. Like, oh, clothing line time. Like, everyone's trying to get in their pockets and they're like, hey, yeah, let's do that. And like, none of that stuff pans out. Yeah. Right. So like, I never felt comfortable saying like, hey, yeah, we should take in like money from athletes that we know that our entire mission is to help you. Mm-hmm. Right. But what I know to be true is that your investment in Open Doors is going to pay dividends. Like, it's going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. Like we have validated and worked. Like, there's a lot of people that right now just heard about Open Doors for the first time. opendorse.com. Open Doors. Okay. You're going to hear it for the first time right now. And you're like, oh, that's a great idea. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like, oh, it's an overnight success. We've been doing this for 10 years, dude. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for 10 years. And like, anybody that says that this is easy and it happened fast, like, they're wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But now we have validated enough where it's like, yeah, you can give us some of your money because I'm going to get you a 20X, 30X, 50X return.
Mm-hmm. Let's fucking go.
Let's go, dog.
Let's go, doggy. Yeah.
Especially once we get that little intro video of you explaining how Open Doors works.
So. Yeah, we do need to make like a piece of cool content, like how it works. Like, if there's a way to like walk through and you got to do it with
we'll just
whatever
send you a
I'm
deal.
Saying. But I'm saying visually too, like you click, like you go something. Hey, we'll make something cool. The boys will make something cool.
That'd be dope. I mean, hey, like when real quick, how are we doing on time? Like, I know that this is not my job to do any of this shit, but are we good? Like, are you guys?
He's talking about time, like on this podcast.
Yeah,
like this
dude.
Episode?
I just want to make sure, like, if you want to get stories out, like we've talked like super hypothetical stuff, right? There's not been many tangible stories about anything in this podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. Like, I'm just like,
yeah, no, you just
I just
said
know
that.
What,
like, oh,
what
yeah.
people listen to. Like, I would listen to us talk about hypotheticals of this, and I don't know. I just know that there's stories to be told too.
I think it's exciting. I think anybody listening who's a college athlete, like, this gets.
All right, cool.
Get some blood flowing down low.
I get it, dude. I get it. I'm just like,
it's a good filter. Yeah.
I mean, this is what you do.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I'm not trying to like run the show, but it's obvious that I could.
Is that Charo being like, hey, what are you?
No, it's the boy. Somebody said something. Alex said urgent. Something urgent. Oh, okay. We'll respond after.
Up to 10 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got flagged for that bullshit I was telling about earlier.
What?
I don't want to say it now. Yeah.
On camera, hey, explain, please. Let's add more content to that.
Yeah, do you guys have anything? Like, you guys, I mean, fuck if you guys have any questions. Like, whether it's a story or just anything that we've all talked about or they've all talked about.
Craziest deal you've seen for an athlete so far? Like, what's the most amount of money a college kid has made? Or do you think, what do you think?
Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, we can't talk about like specifics.
Can we just say player X?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to just be like, what is a college player made? And you just say like a like something that's been crazy.
We can talk in aggregates. We can talk in averages.
What the fuck does that mean, dude? you guys have been throwing a lot of bullshit out
aggregates
here.
Big word over here.
You should just have a dictionary right next to you and just like, all right.
We can talk about aggregates. Hey, fuck you, man. Yeah.
Don't talk about aggregates like that.
Yeah, yeah, like,
this is Tennessee, man. We don't say that.
You racist motherfucker, dude. Yeah.
Jesus. Just that's the hilarious. Aggregates are all pissed
like,
off.
But so
what, it, right.
well, so what is
no,
it?
No, like, here's the thing. Like most people, we're knee deep in athlete endorsements and this sort of thing.
Give us something.
All right. There's a gymnast. There's a gymnast for LSU. Her name's Olivia Dunn. She's got 7 figures lined up already in endorsement deals. A gymnast at LSU,
mm-hmm.
right? So like everyone listens like, oh, it's got to be Spencer Rattler bringing home the cash, right? It's going to be Derek King making that money. Like the truth is that the athletes that are making the most right now are content creators, TikTokers, mm-hmm. YouTubers that just mm-hmm. got to flip a switch and they're making money right now, mm-hmm. right? Because you know, the dude that's going to get paid, you know, to sell a shirt for $20, maybe do an autograph for $100. Like that's going to stack up and rack up and be impactful. Right.
But mm-hmm. for sure.
The people that want to listen, like who's making 7 figures. It's a gymnast at LSU that's mm-hmm. got 4 million followers on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Haley and Hannah Cavender at Fresno State mm-hmm. that have thousands of YouTube subscribers and 3 million TikTok followers. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the athletes that are winning, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the coolest thing is that these people, you don't even know about it,
mm-hmm.
but that those are the, and for them, there's not like a pro, like this is their moment to make that money and they're doing it. That's the cool part of NIL.
Yeah.
Especially people always be curious about like the big, like who's going to be making like the 7 figures or 6 figures of, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
But people don't understand, like you were saying it earlier, like, I mean, $200 a month. Goes a long way. Would you imagine getting that? Like, yes, we are on full ride scholarships,
mm-hmm.
and people make that argument. Oh, you got a full ride. You get the, you know, you get college paid for. We're mm-hmm. busting our ass doing this. Like, you should be grateful. Blah blah blah. Like, we get our scholarship check. It was around what? When I was a senior, it was around $800 a month.
$780,
and that was to pay rent,
pay for rent,
utilities,
phone, rent. Car insurance. I remember I would have like $100, maybe $120 left a month. So I needed $20 to go downtown because you knew everybody, right?
Right.
So like that was what you did. But like I think that the Scholly checks now are like $1,600 or even more. But it's like,
but the secret thing though, like that again, I swear, if you weren't a student athlete, like this stuff won't. You'd be like, okay, I never thought about that. But remember that Subway over by Home Depot, like where you could go and like. Everyone knew, like, if you said the right word, like, you know, you might be able to get that $5 foot long for a little bit less, mm-hmm. right? And
that
I
was
never
that
did
Nebraska?
It. Huh?
That was at
no,
Nebraska?
This is a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay,
Taylor LeJuan was telling me a story at Michigan.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, go look at Michigan.
Yeah, look at Michigan.
look at Michigan.
What's true now is, like, for the last 2 weeks, for the first time ever, like, you've been able to take the burrito from Chipotle when the dude's like, hey, you're a baller. Like, burritos on me because like 3 weeks
now
ago,
it's not illegal anymore.
Well, no, you got to do something though. Like you have to do something. It's got you can't just take it because that's you have to have an NIL activity. So like kids mm-hmm. are doing like, oh, it's an appearance. Like I made an appearance at Chipotle and I got an $8 burrito, mm-hmm. and like that's all good. Or they'll tweet out about Chipotle, like oh, like, Titus Roller in town, like on O Street, you know, whatever. And but that is what's happening, and that's the stuff that's like people. It's not going to make headlines that some dude got an $8 burrito for free, but for the like history of the NCAA, you've never been able to,
mm-hmm.
right? Just to have the option is pretty dang cool. And again, it's not going to break headlines, but that's the type of stuff that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get some bussin' ambassadors, dude. Like, I think that we should right now, I'm going to make you commit. How much are you going to put towards building out the bussin' with the boys teams? Like, we need some bussin' athletes.
You talking about how much
right
to
now?
Financially?
I need to just sit. Yes, easy man. No, let's talk about how many. How what? Hey,
a decision like this takes time.
No, it doesn't.
It takes time.
It takes right now, not money. Let's talk about what. Describe the perfect ambassador for Bussin' with the Boys. You go out and build out the team, the squad. You're like, yeah, those are all Bussin' athletes. What are they? Tell me what they look like. Are they gritty?
Obviously somebody for the boys? Oh yeah, yeah, grit.
Grit.
The grit,
the lunch pail.
Yeah, lunch pail guys, like wolves, people mm-hmm. who are about like being for the boys, that embodies being for the boys. It's not like you want people who are going to post, who aren't going to be afraid to get in an interview. Say we're all in a group chat, right?
Yeah,
or say
yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking back and forth and right. say, hey, this week, if you win, barring that you win the game and you feel good about it, just shout out the boys and say, hey, subscribe to the boys and rate 5 stars.
Let's go. Why not?
You know what I mean? Or, you know, obviously you got stuff that we can give.
Of course.
Is up in the air, but the ideal person, I think Taylor and I immediately think of our alma maters. Like, how do you take care of those guys?
That's right. That's right.
And get them on the train and get them on a train in a way to where they're not nervous about being for the boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Do you want a lot? You're trying to have,
I don't know.
Like
we're trying to figure that out.
You trying to get like 10 boys?
See, like, yeah, there's thoughts to where you get like a small group, or you think like Taylor being at the level he's at playing football, being a pro bowler, being at the high peak of being an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
A lot of these young kids, especially in college, know who Taylor Lewan is.
Yeah.
So they want to be for the boys somehow. Like, hey, how can we be it? So you don't know, like, you know, you create this hogs, like you anything, the big boy, any of that's a big nasties, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you think about that avenue. You think about, okay, if I worked with a certain amount of linebackers, whether it be in a mentoring avenue, like there's so many different options that have gone through my head. I don't necessarily know what that is yet. But I know like a lot of the athletes have already reached out to us. Like, how do we be for the boys?
Right.
That's right.
And so those are obviously the types of guys we want. People who are taking initiative that know what's going to come with, like, they already know about how we go about things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 Of course. Of course.
So you said $100,000. That's what you said. Did I hear that? Right?
I think I heard that too.
Oh, you heard two?
You heard two. Yeah. I think
you said
so.
200. So Bussin' with the Boys is going to commit 200 G's. To building out the Bussin' with the Boys.
And this is from Will's roster. Like pocketbook. Personal. Yeah, personal cash.
Wow.
Your personal cash.
You guys heard
we'll
it here
first. We'll see how that looks. Yeah, we'll see how it all
looks. Heard it here first. 200.
It does fire me up. Like, part of you guys visiting was we were going to be talking about those things.
Yeah.
So.
We should do that for sure tonight, man.
It fires me up, though, but that's a good question. I think I've tried thinking about
it. It's not about the money. I say that to
I'm not talking about the money part. I'm talking about how you go about doing something like that. With a brand that we have, like, do you want to be selective and exclusive in things?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be like, you know, Dave puts out the video and every athlete, period, you know, wants to put Barstool Athlete as long as they get some merch, which is incredible branding, which is a great
move interesting,
by Dave.
Yeah, but there's a lot of compliance issues with that, too.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
Like, which you know about, we won't get into because we, you know, it's been an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I just thought you would skip over some of the stuff Audie was talking about and we just keep going.
I thought I had a friend at the start of this podcast. I clearly don't. So you and I are going to hang out together.
I'm offended. I've never been more offended in my life.
That's cool.
Okay.
What compliance issues do you run into with all that?
IP, like teaching kids that if you didn't.
You bummed about that?
We're about to have a full band. Yeah, let's have a full band.
Yeah, we need,
that's why
to rap. Yeah.
God,
sorry, you got
dude.
Garrett just making a huge fucking body moving back there, throwing his head out.
Clearly, like, we don't have time for that.
And then, let's talk about the history of.
Do you want to hire and fire our people?
Sure. Yeah.
Get rid of Garrett.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry to cut you off.
No. Yeah.
No, it's good, dude.
But opendoors.com. Here's your drop your little.
Dude, this is like anyone listening. Like, you can log into openers.com, create an account, and you could find whatever athlete you want and ask them to do whatever you want for whatever amount of money. And it'll go straight to their phone. Like, you want them to tweet about your small business. You want them to give you a shout out. Like, it's like Cameo meets Fiverr plus just asking an athlete directly, hey, do you want to support my business or say happy birthday to my kid? Like, Open Doors just makes athletes more accessible to the people that support them. Like, it's super easy. And so do that. Like, just do it. And you're going to, Will Compton's on there. You can ask Will Compton
to
do
whatever.
Just do your thing.
Don't bring this back to me.
Opendoors.com.
Follow at Open Doors.
Yeah.
Your Twitter handle.
Blake_Lawrence.
Yeah.
Your Twitter handle.
Kunalic. KUNALIC.
Follow the boys. We love you. We appreciate you. Big hugs, tiny kisses. You can get our merch at barstoolsports.com/store. Subscribe and rate 5 stars. Pound the like button.